Southern Europe is facing a surge of migrants fleeing to the region from Africa. Last week, an oversized ship carrying migrants across the Mediterranean capsized. Over 800 people died. And this is just one example of the perils faced by people trying to flee their likely war-torn nations. Now, Metro Atlanta, as we know, has a significant refugee population. And among the people who help them are Padia Mixon, CEO of New American Pathways, and Hira Chetri, who is an educator from Bhutan. They're here right now to talk about what it's like for migrants here trying to find a better life. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
They may not face, when they get here at least, the kind of perils that they have crossing the Mediterranean. But Padia, let's start with you. Are there real differences between the experiences of migrants and refugees coming here and those coming to the countries of Southern Europe in terms of how they're received and how the governments try to place them?
Well, the program that New American Pathways helps to implement is a U.S. State Department-sponsored program. And so we process refugees overseas. So they go through the interview process, the screening process, and orientation, and they come here with the invitation of the U.S. government. The process can be long, and there's a lot of waiting involved, and it can be frustrating. But once a refugee is approved to come here, then, you know, they fly into Hartsfield-Jackson Airport just like anybody else who would be coming here. They have a safe flight here. And once they arrive, you know, an organization like ours is there to welcome them at the airport, provide housing and basic needs, community orientation, assistance finding a job, getting kids into school, getting health care, really getting acclimated to their new community and becoming self-sufficient.
And will you already have a place for them to live?
We do. We usually get about 2 weeks' notice that somebody's coming, and we scramble to find safe, affordable housing, and we work with lots of volunteers in the community to make sure it's fully furnished and set up and ready. So when they get here tired from the airport, they have a nice place to sleep.
Hira, I want to turn to you for a second. Tell us your story and the process, what it was like for you in coming to the United States and coming here to Georgia.
It was a little bit. In 2008, we started our process, and it was at the beginning, it was pretty fast. So we had to go through the several kind of interviews. And once the Homeland Security accepted, it was really fast. And then we went through the medical checkup and fingerprint and travel orientations. So the overall process was very smooth, and we got to the United States.
From the time when you first started to getting to the United States, how long did it take?
For me, my case, it took just 6 months.
And that's wow. That for a lot of people listening, that's remarkable.
Yes, it is. For some others, it might take more than 2 years, 3 years, and according to their situations. But for me, it was just 6 months. But very rapidly, interviews and meetings was very fast.
When you're involved in this process and helping others, what's the most common thing, or their common fear that they have in terms of adjusting? And I know obviously they're coming from so many different places, and mm-hmm. and it's very different culture wise. So I can imagine the transition period it can be a little frightening for some of them.
Yes, it is very frightening for them because it's totally new country, and then they do not have the clear picture of what they will be going through it. So I clearly remember my own personal experience that I had gone through it on my orientation before I come to United States. In the refugee camp, they give an orientation. So they just gave us a moment to think about how would we be expecting our new home in the new country. So they gave us a clear sheet of paper and then ask us to draw a picture of a home,
really?
New home. And with our left hand, if we can write with the right hand, we had to use a left hand. So it was hard for me to hold a pen and then couldn't draw a vertical line on it to draw my new home. So she, at the end, she gave a conclusion that you will be starting your new life and it will be hard for you, but if you try, there is always success.
And the orientation was helpful for you.
Very helpful. At that moment, I never thought that I would be going through this, but after coming to United States and going through it, yes, she was right. I felt that she was giving me very clear picture of what should I be expecting when I come to the new country.
And here, in helping people from other countries, as Rose was saying, people come from all different countries with different cultural backgrounds and different expectations and fears. How do you, and both of you can take this one on too, but Hiro, let's start with you. How do you try to understand what a person from a different country might be expecting or fearing versus somebody you might have helped just recently who may have come from someplace completely different?
After all, I feel that their problems and transition would be the same, but the language and their priority in their immediate help might be different, but it's always my job to tell them that what is important for them at the immediate, like looking for a job, if they care for their beloved ones, or if they want to see the smile on their beloved ones, always work is important. Take any kind of a job, but that's not the end of the life here in America. If you have any kind of an education, you can grow. Mm-hmm. So I always give them a message that beginning, it's hard and tough. Transition period is always tough, but that is not the end for anybody.
And Padia, how often do you run into families who aren't together? They're separated. A parent might still be in the country of origin. And how difficult is it to reunite them?
Well, actually, that's very, very common. Family reunification is a big part of what we do, and a lot of our resettlement cases are coming here to join family members. So, you know, there's a process that they can go through. The process is cumbersome and actually even involves DNA testing of the relative here and overseas. It can take a lot of time and a lot of patience. And we do have lots of people who come in to apply for family members, and you can just feel the stress. You know, they're constantly checking back. Have you heard any news? Have you heard any news? And when we get that, you know, the document's called an assurance for that family member, it's always a joy for our staff to call and say, guess what? You know, we got notice. Your relative is coming. Your relative's been approved. And it's even more fun to call and say they're going to be here in 2 weeks. So that's always great. But the process itself, it can take a long time. And sometimes people get separated and resettled in different places. So I think that's one of the hardest things about the program is the separation of families.
We're speaking with Padia Mixon and Hiria Chetri of New American Pathways about Atlanta's refugee population. Question for you. Well, you just talked about that sometimes there's a separation. And so do you work with other organizations across the country to try to maybe bring the relatives together if possible?
We do. I think there are organizations that actually help with that overseas. And I know the Red Cross actually has a program where they help people track people down that they don't know where they are. Then we are actually a part of a national affiliate network. And so we do work closely with our national organizations. So New American Pathways is affiliated with Church World Service and Episcopal Migration Ministries. But all of the national resettlement agencies share information over one database. So we do work together a lot across the country. And then we also work together with our other resettlement agency partners here in Atlanta.
Let's talk about it if their children are involved as well, because you have to think of education and then language. What are some of the, I guess, success stories that you have with the area school districts and making sure that the children are also, you know, being placed properly as it comes to their education?
Well, we have a really good partnership with DeKalb County school systems. That's the school system where most refugees are resettled. And we work very closely with DeKalb County schools. We actually have after-school programs in 4 DeKalb County schools to help provide additional support in language acquisition and basic skills remediation, and then just, you know, enrichment and fun. But we have a really good relationship. There are always challenges. Many refugee children, they don't have continuous access to education. So there may be gaps in their education, and they may not just have the challenge of learning English, but also catching up in those other basic skills. And so that's always a challenge, and I think it's a challenge for the school system. And we work very closely in partnership, but we do have some great success stories. And just last year, a young woman, a Burmese refugee that was in one of our programs, our Young Women's Leadership Program, she won the Millennium Gates Scholarship and is going to Agnes Scott College this year. So one thing that's really rewarding about working with this population in general is it's a highly motivated group of people who've just been waiting for the opportunity. And so you see people really succeeding. You know, when you meet people and they come in, and then just a few years later, it's like beyond your wildest dreams, some of the things that they're able to accomplish.
And Hira, there's always the question then of how important is it to settle someone in a community, if you can, where there are other people from his or her homeland and have that support going in, versus making sure they can also be someplace where they can find themselves surrounded by life in America so they can work their way into the society here quickly. It's that balance, isn't it, between having a little bit of home and being able to find yourself in a new place?
Yes. I think that at first, coming to the new country and meet your own community people is more like relaxing, more a little bit, you feel much better. But once you know that what your next step would be, so people will come out from the place, especially wherever they are resettled, like Clarkston. After a year or two, the refugees, they buy home and they move to the destination where there is a good education for their kids, and that has been going on.
Yeah. And Pedia, is that a goal, or is that something that sort of happens organically?
I mean, it really happens organically. When you, we really try to let our clients guide the work that we do, and clients do feel very strongly about, in those first months, being in their community and having that network of support. But you do see these, you know, in different communities go different places, but you do see this kind of migration pattern once people are comfortable. Home ownership is something that's, very much a part of the American dream, and it's definitely true for our clients. And just like any American, they're always looking for more opportunities for their children. So moving to better school districts or moving to places where there's more opportunity, that seems to, be constant.
And we asked Clarkston Mayor Ted Terry this question, so I'll ask you as well. Is there any sense in some of the places where folks are settled initially that just because of numbers, we need to find some more places because people keep coming, because the cities where they are now may or may not have problems with just dealing with numbers of folks in terms of services?
That's been a challenge, and we actually work closely with Mayor Terry. We do resettle in places other than Clarkston, but we secure an initial apartment, and the client actually has the option of whether or not to sign the lease. So all we do is set up that initial apartment, and then after that, clients are free to live where they want to live. And what we found is it's really hard to move that new population away from a community. You know, we've had cases where people have been resettled in Savannah and have on their own moved to Clarkston. And so I know that Mayor Terry is a real advocate for more programs that support that welcoming community. And we definitely agree that that is a real need, to think about these welcoming communities and what are their needs and how can they be supported, because they're really taking on a wonderful humanitarian tradition. And we really want those communities to be successful.
And here, I'll give you the last question here. How important has it been for you personally to have a welcoming community like you've experienced when you came?
It's very important for someone who comes from the totally new country, the community which has a friendlier and very new welcoming community, because you can rely on them and ask any kind of questions, because it's totally different country. And if the language is a big barrier, then you might have no clue what would be next step. So I encourage to have that committee which would be welcoming the new refugees.
And now you're part of that community that welcomes in
yes,
new refugees.
Yes, I feel very proud to be on that and lead to the new American, to the new American life. And they will be the citizen of this country in a lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Do you see yourself in the people who are coming now, no matter where they're from? Yeah. Do you see yourself in those faces when they come over? Do you see?
Yes. Yeah. That's truly, I believe. I came as a refugee like 6 years ago, and now I'm an American citizen. I voted last November. I feel very proud, and
wow.
I'm a homeowner, and I'm like planning to go back to school. So that's a little story, what I do since I came to the United States. So.
Well, congratulations on all of that.
Yes, thank you.
We've been speaking with Padia Mixon and Hira Chetri of the New American Pathways about Atlanta's refugee population. Thank you both for coming in and taking the time. We really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.